back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined this hour by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a professor emeritus of political science and law, good friend of the show, now a friend of yours. We've been discussing the fact that Donald Trump's tune that his lawyers take, whether we're talking about the killing, the shooting down, the military bombing of fishing boats in the Gulf of Mexico, or we're talking about the deployment of National Guard members to face off against citizens exercising their First Amendment rights in California, Illinois, Oregon, and elsewhere, including Washington, D.C. The argument in a court is, while we nominally, sort of on the surface, hat tip to, sure, courts should be able to have some authority over some of this stuff and maybe ask us to produce some facts, we acknowledge that you're asking, but we're not going to provide those because the president's power here should be basically unchecked. You have to credit his discretion and you have to give deference and not really interrogate or demand evidence. You just have to take our word for it. And that means we can deploy the National Guard or use our military to blow up fishing boats in the Gulf of America? No, the Gulf of Mexico, right? And at the same time, you must do that because what you are interrogating is a policy decision by the president that is exclusively reserved to the president. Well, if it's policy and politics, then Congress has a role to play. And yet, when Trump administration officials appear before Congress and you have senators trying to execute oversight of those decisions, of those political decisions and those policy decisions, there too, Donald Trump says, you don't even get to ask. So as Professor Schwaber put it right before the break, what we see coming here is a president that says I can make someone disappear or I can kill someone at will, and nobody really gets to review it at all. And interestingly enough, we talked about this on this program. Stephen Miller was on CNN a week and a half ago, and he actually said the quiet part out loud. He said the president has uncheckable, unlimited, exclusive, complete power over the National Guard and the military, and including to deploy it on American citizens. And Stephen Miller in that moment recognized, oops, I shouldn't have said that. And he rendered himself silent, something which I never thought I'd ever see. But let's remind ourselves of what exactly was said.
I would note the administration won an identical case in the Ninth Circuit just a few months ago with respect to the federalizing of the California National Guard. Under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has plenary authority.
Stephen? Hey, Stephen, can you hear me?
Yeah. And Howard, what you're talking about is that code that he's referring to has these factual predicates, these facts that must be true in order for the president to have this power. And what Stephen Miller just said was, nobody gets to ever ask about those facts. He has plenary, ultimate, unchecked power. That's what plenary means. Does it not, sir?
Absolutely. And in court filings, the administration takes that position explicitly.
Yes.
With respect to courts, not Congress now. And states, and there are two 19th century cases that they rely on, one from the 1820s and one from the 1840s, to say that courts cannot, I mean, this is their explicit position, courts cannot at all question or ask for evidence or inquire into the adequacy of a president's determination on questions of the National Guard, or in those days, the militia. In the 1930s, courts were a little bit less willing to go for that and insisted that no, there has to be a presumption that there's a good faith basis of what's called a colorable claim. That is, courts can, said the Supreme Court in the 1930s, require the administration to present enough evidence to show that they're acting on some reasonable basis. And that's exactly the position that not only Miller, but the lawyers in the White House are disputing right now as we speak. And it's exactly, and you're exactly right to say, it's exactly the same standard that they're using in the case of enemy combatants and in the case of deploying the National Guard to American cities. Excuse me. This is an unreviewable exercise of discretion by the president. And the only possible limit would come from Congress. And as we've already discussed, they foreclosed that possibility as well.
And indeed, we now have at least one federal court, one federal judge that has said on the record that the administration's statements of fact are unreliable. And this was Judge April Perry last week issuing a restraining order, which is under appeal, preventing the deployment of National Guard in the Chicagoland area. She said in that hearing where she granted Governor Pritzker's request for an emergency restraining order, she said, there's growing evidence, this is a quote, DHS's perceptions of events are simply unreliable, end quote. Howard, that is the very thing that, again, the Supreme Court in the 30s was saying courts can and should do, which is find out if there is a reasonable, good faith basis to extend the presumption of correctness of the facts that the government are saying, that there has to be a reasonable basis to do that. And you've got a federal judge saying, yeah, we actually have evidence to the contrary. Not that indicates the reliability, that says, no, actually, we need to be suspicious of what the administration is saying. It's quite a moment.
It goes farther than that. There's really good reason to believe that Donald Trump was watching Fox News and saw a video from 2000 that had been taken in Portland, Oregon, assumed it was a depiction of current events, and used that as the basis for his decision. It's not just the DHS's presentations of facts cannot be relied upon. It's not clear that the president literally knows what he's talking about. And in the absence of a check and balance, of some way to call those assertions into question, we're not just stuck with the possibility of violence being done on the basis of a dishonest pretext. We're stuck with the possibility of violence being done on the basis of a delusion.
Shocking times, these. Folks, if you're just joining us, we've got UW Law School and Political Science Professor Emeritus Howard Schwaber with us this afternoon. We've been talking about this illogical, maybe I could call it a tautology, right? The circular reasoning of the Trump administration when they're in court about the National Guard deployments, or whether they were challenged in court about the shooting of fishing boats in the Gulf of Mexico. Their response in courtrooms has been consistently, you don't get to ask. You have to presume that our fact statements are accurate, even though there's evidence that they're inaccurate and delusional in some instances. You don't really get to ask, and you don't get to ask because this is about politics and policy. But when they are in the venue that our founders designed to help, again, oversee, to be a check on the political or policy decisions of a president, to wit, Congress, and the Congress members are trying to execute their oversight powers, they refuse to provide any evidence or even respond to broad questions about legal frameworks there. And this, the idea that the administration would outright lie about things or simply refuse to provide facts, becomes quite terrorizing, Howard, when you look into two other areas. I've talked about on the past, and I'm going to put a pin in this for our discussion today, but business regulation and business oversight. If you're willing to lie about it, you can target businesses based on your perception of their support or opposition to a president's political agenda through regulatory enforcement actions. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. And we have plenty of evidence. Just look at Jimmy Kimmel, that is exactly what's happening. And they may lie about things in order to justify it. But the place where it really becomes truly, truly terrorizing to me is when you look at the power of our federal investigatory police powers in the FBI and the Department of Justice. People can be prosecuted, investigated, their lives stopped, and imprisoned. And if the government is willing to lie about the National Guard, is willing to lie about or withhold evidence regarding their killing of folks in fishing boats in the Caribbean, I don't think there's a reasonable basis to extend them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to these prosecutions. We now have a prosecution of Letitia James, Jim Comey. There's nearly certainly an indictment of John Bolton, the former national security advisor, that will drop this week. We also think former military general Brennan will be indicted soon. These are Trump's enemies. They're on an enemies list. Kash Patel helpfully published one. He's talked about them in that way. he basically sent a direct message to our attorney general and said, Pam, you got to hop on this. And 5 days later, a U.S. attorney had been removed, an incompetent one appointed, handpicked by Donald Trump, who then did the president's bidding within 5 days to prosecute Jim Comey. What sort of, like, how thin is the ice, or have we broken through the ice and we're now drowning in terms of the weaponization of law and federal level law enforcement in this country and the targeting of whether it's Comey, Brennan, Bolton, Letitia James, and the list goes on and on?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is not a new playbook. This was McCarthy's playbook. This was Nixon's playbook. I remember back in the day, there were people who were upset that they weren't on Nixon's enemies list. It was considered, what, am I not important enough to be in your enemy? But there's a new factor here. And so in that sense, it's evil, but a familiar evil. And it's classic, a classic example of unchecked powers. And it's not a coincidence. I mean, we've seen, you know, we've talked about principled conservatives. The judges who are most vociferously standing up to Trump at the moment are Reagan-appointed judges. A whole slew of past Republican Justice Department officials have signed off on letters saying this is a complete corruption of our practices. But I want to point to one other thing that makes it more dangerous, even than prior versions of the same abuse, and that is databases. The way they found out about Letitia James's mortgage application is the federal office, Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac, that contained tens of millions of people's mortgage information, set an AI program loose in their databases to find inconsistencies. It's, I mean, Nixon used the IRS for this, but this is a whole new level. It's, you know, when you can comb through all existing records of millions and millions of people to find some basis for complaining about something to those you want to target, that turns what was already a frightening weapon into something that's almost omnipresent. It's everywhere. You know, it's part of an omnipresent threatening state, like the surveillance state itself.
Yeah, and the definitions that have been used in some executive orders literally are sort of targeting people's thinking, right, their affiliations. The movie Minority Report was about precognition and pre-crime. It's effectively what Donald Trump has greenlit across all intelligence, military agencies, and federal law enforcement. And when you are willing to lie and courts can't ask about it and you won't submit to congressional oversight, you won't produce evidence in the public forum, the evidence that we do know is there, you hide, read about Epstein, right? It's so frightening. And the fact that if you simply look at the most basic Department of Justice policy, longstanding across administrations going back 50 years, to prosecute, the line prosecutors have to believe that they can obtain a conviction, that they can prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. In these instances of Letitia James and Jim Comey, and I'm certain Bolton and Brennan and others, the line prosecutors said, we don't meet that standard. And Donald Trump is personally directing that longstanding DOJ policy be ignored. And he's got just the lackeys to do it. It's not supposed to be this way. We're going to talk about the responsibilities of federal prosecutors. There's some history on this, folks, with Professor Howard Schwaber, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Law from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Stay with us. This discussion continues on the other side.